Our Conversation from BAE Systems.
Hello and welcome to Our Conversation, the podcast for BAE Systems colleagues across the world. I'm Tim Smith, and in a busy show this month, we'll be hearing how BAE Systems is supporting veterans in the UK and US. Plus, we'll be talking technology and sustainability. As always, joining us is Charles Woodburn, Chief Executive of BAE Systems. Charles, hello, how are you?
Hi, Tim. Yeah, good to be here again.
And good to speak with you again. Now, also with us on this podcast, it's welcome back to Ben Hudson, BAE Systems Chief Technology Officer. Hello, Ben.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for inviting us along. Great to be here with you today.
And great to have you back on the podcast again, Ben. Charles, let's begin with you. I know you've been very busy lately, so let's get an update, please, on what you've been doing recently.
Well, Tim, I've been fortunate enough to have got on a few visits recently, including joining Sir Simon Bolam, the CEO of the UK's Defence and Equipment and Support Organisation at RAF Marham, to engage with the teams and discuss in particular the F-35 sustainment and the carrier strike group's deployment. As always, it's a really fascinating visit, and to do it jointly with one of our biggest UK, most important UK customers, I think was really an excellent opportunity. The teams in Portsmouth and Marham have been supporting our customers. These preparations for that first historic deployment of HMS Queen Elizabeth. The deployment has been literally decades in the making and is obviously a very significant milestone for our company, our customer, and the UK. So I'd like to take the opportunity to thank everybody who's contributed to the Carrier Strike Group's capabilities. It really is a fantastic showcase of the excellent work that we do.
Okay, now Charles, I understand also you've recently issued a trading statement. Can you give us the headlines from that?
You're absolutely right, Tim. So we did, as you said, recently issue an update to the financial markets, confirming a positive start to 2021. I'd like to thank everyone for their outstanding efforts, and that enabled us to report good operational performance and confirm that we're on track to deliver on our guidance this year. Our order backlog and program positions support our growth expectations in coming years, and there's a strong pipeline of opportunities across the sectors. So overall, it's been a great start to the year, and it's vital that we continue to build on this positive momentum, remain focused on driving our operational performance, and invest in and develop the technologies to meet our customers' needs, and at the same time progress the sustainability agenda that we've spoken about on recent podcasts.
Okay, well, let me bring Ben Hudson into the proceedings now. Ben, Charles was mentioning there the company's focus on technology development. That one's firmly in your court, of course. So what's driving this focus on new technology then, particularly, I guess, when it comes to autonomous systems and multi-domain networks?
Thanks, Tim. I mean, big question. Ultimately driven by the threat environment that we're seeing at the moment, particularly at the top of the mind of our global customers is China and Russia. China's displayed a real desire to invest very heavily in autonomous systems for the future battlefield across all domains, land, air, sea, and importantly, subsea as well. That will change the nature of the fight there. And we've seen Russia deploy systems into Syria recently. And so what that does for our customers is drive a potential change in capital allocation going forward. And if we think about the future battlefield in perhaps 50 years' time, it's predominantly unmanned. Autonomous systems are going to change the nature and character of warfare. We have a really strong heritage in this field, and we have current projects that are running right now for customers around the world, such as our M113 upgrade down in Australia. This heritage gives us a unique capability to play, and I guess we've got to be careful in bringing competitive advantage into this autonomous systems and the networks that go with them so that we can compete against some pretty heavy investment by some of our peers. And I think we've found some of those areas of competitive advantage and have set up a global program to really create the cross-sector collaboration to outperform our peers and put something truly revolutionary into the market for our customers to keep our soldiers, sailors and airmen around the world safe in the future.
Perhaps you could give us a bit more detail about strategic multi-domain networks. What sort of advantage, Ben, does this offer?
It's a good question. So if we believe in the thesis that there'll be more and more autonomous and uncrewed system on the future battlefield, what goes hand in hand with that is the ability to move data around the battlefield to operate them. And all of our customers are now talking very much about multi-domain rather than single-domain operations. It's really that situation where the whole creates more than the sum of the parts. The domains are cyber, sea, space, air and land, and it's the combination of those together that really can outperform perhaps the adversaries in a future threat environment. The network then is fundamental, and it's fundamental that it works cross-domain to move data and create that competitive advantage. As an example, creating or using space assets for intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance that can then shift and move that data very quickly across the battlefield, perhaps to brigade and below in the land environment or directly into the cockpit of an aircraft or onto the bridge of an aircraft carrier, as an example. That network also then becomes the backbone for us in a space-resilient way for these autonomous systems. And if you think about where conflict might break out in the future, perhaps in space, resilience against threats to some of those space assets is key. And some of the traditional autonomous systems really do rely on military satellite communications to provide their backbone. And we're rethinking that across the company right now to do it in a way that's independent of space assets and really can provide a beyond line of sight capability. So great for the network for autonomous systems, but also fundamental as a growth driver for us in the future in the communications and networking space that will team very well with our existing products and portfolio.
And looking to the future then, Ben, how can colleagues help with this technology?
Lots of people already are helping. We've got a cross-business team working on the program of activity around autonomous systems right now to bring to bear the best in the company. And for me, it's about teamwork. It's about putting BAE and the global business first and working in a very collaborative way across the company. Charles and I believe this is truly an extraordinary group that we have in the company with some skills and capabilities that aren't replicated anywhere. And if we can bring that together as a single large cross-sector team effort, we can truly outperform our peers in this area of autonomous systems and multi-domain networks for the future. And I should say that we're already there. We're already doing great work. Our Riptide team in the US and their autonomous undersea assets, Phaser 35 and the long endurance aircraft that is being developed and being prepared for stratospheric flight in the UK. And our Australian team who are pushing forward in partnership with the Australian Army for autonomous M113 vehicles.
All right, Ben, Charles, thanks for the moment. And we'll be talking to colleagues from the Veterans Employee Resource Groups next. Our conversation. Well, let's look now at how BAE Systems is supporting veterans. May is Military Appreciation Month in the US, and it's Armed Forces Week in the UK in June. Joining us from BAE Systems, Inc., Tyler Murphy, a Security Director and President of the Veteran Support Group. Tyler, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Good to be here.
Also joining us is Annie Lundell, Communications Manager, working with the Veteran Support Group in the US. Hello, Annie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very well. Nice of you to join us. And finally, we say hello to Richard Ryan, a senior counsel in the UK and co-chair of the Veterans Employee Resource Group, VetNet. Richard, hello. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Tim. Pleased to be here.
What are your groups focused on this year in particular? Tyler, perhaps you can tell us first about your focus in the US.
Well, right now, our focus in the U.S. for this year in 2021 has been on relating with the veterans within Inc. here in the United States. We took this opportunity as a new leadership team to survey our members, find out what people were really interested in, and then try to tailor our plans this year to focus on what's important to them. One of the big ones has been the interconnectedness of our members with some of the other resource groups here in the United States that we as veterans are represented in all of the other ERGs, you know, making and working this year to make sure the connections with those other ERGs align with our efforts to make sure we're all kind of pulling in the same direction here. Part of the efforts for me personally has been providing a platform for those with marginalized voices to be able to speak and be heard. And that's one of the reasons it was very important for me for Annie to be on this call today to kind of speak from a female veteran standpoint in the U.S., which is a voice that we very rarely hear.
Well, that's an interesting subject, an interesting topic. Annie, anything you want to add to that with regard to the focus in the US?
We really do want to focus on making sure that all aspects of veterans are celebrated and recognized, because we do belong to many of the other communities that have been marginalized.
Okay, well, that's what's happening in the US this year. Richard, what's the focus for VetNet in the UK?
So as a relatively new ERG, we had a bit of a blank canvas, which we could benefit from. But primarily, we needed to understand within our own population what we have in terms of veterans and reservists. So our main focus is to increase our membership in the UK and internationally. And when we do identify those veterans and reservists, if they do need support, then we provide a way or a means of getting it to them. One of the things that we would like to do this year is focus on how we can potentially formalise a veterans integration program into BAE in order to be a preferred home for veterans and reservists, much like we see in our business in the US.
Well, on that subject, let me bring Tyler back into the conversation now. Are there any specific challenges that veterans face in the workplace? And if so, Tyler, what sort of support do you offer them?
So this year, transitioning to corporate life has been a big, big topic. We've had a few webinars within May talking specifically to that. We were lucky enough to have somebody who's a BA employee who actually did their PhD dissertation on transitioning from the military. So he was able to come in and give a whole brief. What I was surprised by when we did that was the bigger conversation that then created all across Inc. with veterans reaching out to the VSN leadership team with their stories of transition. And we've been looking at programs and processes that we currently have in place and how we can possibly incorporate those across the company, not just to recruit veteran talent, but then maintain veteran talent. Because what was found during that dissertation was that most veterans here in the United States will stay at their first job 1 to 3 years if they don't feel that the company appreciates them. The second one being mental health is people struggle with mental health, in everywhere within society. It's not just something unique to the veteran community. So what we've been trying to do with VSN is promote services offered by BAE Systems, like the Veteran Support Line provided by Cigna here in the United States by our healthcare provider. And one of our big, big focuses on that, Tim, is to make sure that veterans do not feel alone, that they understand that there is a way to get out, there is a way to get help, and that you're not weak for looking into that, which is something that I have been personally addressing as much as I can here in the US.
And Annie, what would you say about the support that you offer in terms of the challenges that are faced by veterans in the workplace?
You have a very, very close bond when you're in the military, and a lot of veterans feel like they lose that camaraderie when they're out. So one of the things that we want to launch in June will be, we're calling it a Battle Buddy program, that will connect veterans across Inc. We're looking for a way to connect them in little groups of 3 to 4 so that they can build that camaraderie with other veterans that truly understand what they're going through. So trying to help build that feeling of belonging and togetherness that often veterans miss out on.
So, Richard, you've heard Tyler and Annie talking there about the situation in the US. Presumably, those are issues and solutions that you're familiar with here in the UK.
Yes, absolutely, Tim. They do resonate with me wholeheartedly. And looking forward, I think one of the things that we're doing in the UK in terms of VetNet is setting up the first international best practice sharing event between our VetNets with Australia, US, the UK and Sweden. And we're looking at doing that on the 10th of November so that we can all get together as one VetNet group and discuss these kind of issues.
Okay, and finally, and let me ask Annie this first, how can colleagues get involved and support veteran colleagues?
So I think seeking to understand is one of the biggest things that people can do to support veteran colleagues.
And finally, Richard.
Become a member of our ERG. Become a member today. You don't need to be a veteran or reservist. A desire to learn more is all that is required.
Well, Ben Hudson's been listening to that conversation. Ben, you're the executive committee sponsor for veterans. What's your overview of the contribution that veterans make to the business?
Tim, I think Anne, Richard and Tyler have just epitomised to you what veterans can provide to our business. They come with a huge life experience and clear cultural alignment with our customers, but also in the things that we need in the business as well: teamwork, mission focus, initiative, drive, good communication skills. And you've seen that from Richard, Tyler and Anne right here. Just a personal thanks to Richard, Tyler, Anne, and everyone working on the in the employee resource groups around the world. I know we've got a big body down in Australia working on this theme as well. So thank you to all of you. Really appreciate your efforts.
Okay, thank you for that, Ben. Charles, you've been listening as well. A very interesting and very inspirational subject. And of course, diversity and inclusion, very much top of the mind for you, I know. Bring us up to date with your priorities.
Well, Tim, as you said, that was an inspirational and very informative conversation to listen to. And as you said, creating an inclusive environment remains a key priority for me and for the whole EC leaders and colleagues right across the group. And it's a core part of our sustainability agenda. As I've said before, it's not just the right thing to do. It really is vital for our success. Ultimately, we want to be known as the leading employer in our sector for valuing diversity and inclusion. And that means having plans in place to advance a number of different dimensions of diversity, such as disability and veterans and reservists, as we've been talking about today. So a key aspect of our ambition is to be more representative of the race, ethnicity, and gender in the localities in which we operate. And that's something that we'll assess and measure across our markets and locations. We know there's a huge amount to do, but we'll keep pushing ourselves and looking at all aspects of how we operate to create a truly diverse and inclusive organization.
Charles, thank you. Okay, well, best of luck to our three veteran support group guests with all of your activities. Our thanks to Tyler, Annie, and Richard for joining us. Coming up next, a question from you.
Our conversation.
Now, as always on Our Conversation, we give you the chance to ask a question. This time, we're joined by Jacob Aldridge, who's on an industrial placement as a systems engineer in the laser-directed energy weapons team in Maritime Services. Jacob, hello. Thanks for joining us on the podcast.
Hi, Tim. Thanks for having me on. It's good to be here.
Listen, you're through to Charles and Ben. What's your question?
Hi, Charles. Hi, Ben. So my question to you is, obviously, as a company at the forefront of engineering, particularly lately in sustainable technology, how much of an emphasis does BAE Systems place on the use of these new technologies to help achieve net zero carbon emissions by 2030?
Well, given the subject matter, that looks like one for you, Ben. What's your answer, please?
Thanks, Tim. And Jacob, welcome to the call and thanks for the question. I mean, our customers have made it really clear that sustainability is a priority for them, as well as our own ambitions that we have set for being net zero from our own operations by 2030. Half of the government emissions here in the UK come from MOD operations. So there is going to be a swing of investments from our customers into these areas as well. And it's a real way that we can differentiate our own products and services. We've got a couple of projects running right now to really take what some of the thoughts that Inc have had for a while in their wonderful hybrid bus business and full electric drive business that has been up and running for a number of years right now. I mean, that Inc business has already saved a huge amount of carbon emissions. And so we're looking at replicating that in adjacent markets. If you think about carbon reduced shipping and logistics, using our naval architecture skills to look at it first for the defence sector and then having a look at the applications then in potential civilian sector. And we've got a really interesting project running right now to recover waste heat from ships and turn that into electricity. We're having a look at the future of electric flight in the UK, and the Inc team are also looking very hard at subsystems and technologies that they can partner with aircraft manufacturers on electric flight as well. So there's some very, very interesting projects going on around the company in that area. And lastly, I just sort of mentioned the synthetic training environment. We're going to see a rise of the importance of simulation training and synthetic environments. Last year alone, more than 13,000 flight hours were replaced here in the UK with our own simulation and synthetic solutions we provide for the RAF. And that saved more than 184,000 tonnes of carbon dioxide. So we're really doing something now. We've got bigger ambitions for the future. And it's really to support the challenge that Charles and the rest of the EC have set is let's get to 2030 and let's do it in a way that shows leadership on the product side as well as our own operations.
Okay, Ben, thank you for that answer. Charles?
Well, Jacob, I understand that you're part of the graduate working group that's developed a range of engagement opportunities for the upcoming Sustainability Week to mark the World Environment Day on the 5th of June. Can you tell everybody about the programme for the week?
Yes, certainly, Charles. Sustainability Week is on running from June the 7th, and it's the purpose of it is to explore the different aspects of sustainability, so whether that's environmental, social, or economical. So, there's a lot of talks from quite high-profile speakers to discuss the future of sustainability, not just within the company, but worldwide also. It's a very exciting time, and it should be very interesting.
Well, that sounds like an excellent program, Jacob. So I'd encourage everybody who's listening to get involved. And please pass on my thanks to all of your colleagues in the working group for supporting our efforts to drive this very important sustainability agenda forward. And I think we can all agree it's going to take a huge team effort to deliver this ambitious agenda. And I look forward to hearing the feedback and indeed any ideas generated from the discussions during Sustainability Week. Thank you very much, Jacob.
Thank you very much, Charles.
Jacob, thanks very much for your question and the chance for us to talk about such an important subject. Good luck with your involvement in Sustainability Week. And by the way, more on Sustainability Week and World Environment Day next month on our podcast. And if you want to get in touch with a question, here's the email. Send your question to ourconversation@baesystems.com. That's ourconversation@baesystems.com. And that's it for this edition of Our Conversation. We return next month with all the latest business news. Until then, from me, Tim Smith, Charles Woodburn, Ben Hudson, and all our guests, it's goodbye.
Our Conversation, back next month.